be glorified. Oh, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified.
Be glorified.
In the heavens.
Be glorified.
Together for the choir. Amen. Amen. Beloved, this is an assembly of the Lord. I said, this is an assembly of the Lord, which is the Lord that called us together this morning. Amen. And any time that the Lord calls his people, he has a word for them. A word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of healing, a word of empowerment. Church, this morning the word is coming through our pastor, Pastor Kafui. Somebody put your hands together. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. How are you this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Lift up your hands. Just bless the name of the living God. Somebody speak to him. Speak to the Lord. Somebody speak to him. Masata Karabos. Speak to the Lord. Speak to him. Speak to him. Speak to him. Somebody Lebrandi Alapaya Sukarandaya. Papa 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 Dan. Papa Papa Pande Alapaya Di Alapaya Si Andaya. Papa Balabara Dosi Karabaya Sukarandaya Alapaya Si Andaya. Papa 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 Pande Alapaya Si Karabaya Sukarandaya. Somebody bless him. Somebody bless him. La pa 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 la po si karapo si karandaya po si andi ala paya siya. Adi ala pa si karapo si andi ala paya. Ka pa 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 andi ala paya di ala paya siya. La pa 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 andi ala paya si karandaya ala paya siya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless him. La ka pa 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 pa. La pa 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 la pa ya te ya la pa ya si ka ra pa ya si ya a pa 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 ndi ya la pa ya si ka ra pa ya si ka ra pa ya su ya a te ya la pa si ka ra pa ya si ka ra pa ya su ya a pa 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 ndi ya la pa ya si ka ra pa ya su ya nda ya in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ka pa pa do ya la pa ya si ka ra pa ya si ya. Jesus. Let's pray. Father, behold this gathering, let your presence permeate this atmosphere. Let your glory be made known. Expose the work of the enemy. Glorify your people, O God. You said if you be lifted, you draw all men unto you. The hour has come, O God. May your name be blessed. May I decrease so that you increase. Give me utterance and grant me boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them be strong. Tell them be strong. Tell them be bold. Tell them be courageous. Tell them be courageous. For the Lord is with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn your Bible to the book of Micah, the 4th chapter. We are continuing. We will continue the series on demonology. So if I can have those who read, get some mics, and we will continue. We want to finish up the introduction this very day. Then once the introduction is done today, we will move on to something else. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There is something about the Bible, and the more you read it, the more precious it becomes. It is a mysterious book. It's a mysterious book. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you cold? Are you cold? You want to run today? Should we run? We could move the chairs on this side and run up and down on this side. Amen. Hallelujah. We began the series on demonology, and we have been treating it for quite some time now. So far, we have spoken on a couple of things which leads up to what demons are and what they are not. We have spoken about the origin, the rise, and the fall of demons. We have also spoken on the nature, the characteristics of demons. We have also addressed functions and occupations and careers of demons. We have also dealt with the subject, what is demonic possession? What is demonic possession? Hallelujah. What is demonic possession, and can a Christian be possessed? Can a Christian be possessed? And the last thing we are dealing with today is the believer's authority. The believer's authority in regards to expelling of demons. The believer's authority, because after having addressed this subject, we have spoken very extensively about the activities of demons. It almost looks like demons have been glorified for the past 4 weeks. Amen. We have spoken about the extent of their authority and their dominion and what they are capable of doing. We have spoken about their activities and whatnot. So we have spoken about the extent of their activities. Hallelujah. So this very day, we also want to focus on the believer. That if demons are capable of such things, then what is the believer capable of? Hallelujah. Therefore, we will turn to the book of Micah, chapter number 4. Micah, the 4th chapter, where Jamara just read from. Amen. The verse number 1 and the verse number 8. The verse number 1 and the verse number 8. In other words, we are reading verse 1 and we are skipping to the verse number 8. Amen. Can somebody please read those of you with the mic?
Micah 4, 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. and people shall flow unto it. Verse 8. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible said, and it shall what come to pass in the latter what days. Hallelujah. It said, and it shall come to pass. Let me have the microphone up a little bit. It said, it shall come to pass in what? In the latter days. Hallelujah. What days are we in right now? What days are we in right now? And the Bible said, it shall come to pass in the latter days that what shall happen? That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be what? Exalted or established. Hallelujah. It said, it shall come to pass in the latter days, which right now we understand by the fulfillment of prophecies that we are in the latter days. For Peter has said in Acts chapter 2 that these are indeed the latter days spoken by the prophet Joel. And the verse number 8 said that what? And the former glory or the first dominion shall be restored. Hallelujah. Now I want you to understand the believer's authority. That regardless of what effectiveness and activities that demons can exercise over the land, that the believer has also been elevated beyond the measure of demons. Now the Bible tells us in Micah that it shall come to pass in these times that the first glory shall be what? That the first glory shall be what? Oh, that the first glory shall be restored again. In other ways, it is necessary that we know what the first dominion is. If the first dominion is to be established, then we must know what the first dominion is. And not only must we know what the first dominion is, but the scripture also makes us understand that it is lost. Because if the dominion was not lost, there will not be a need for it to be restored or established again. Are you understanding this? Are you understanding this? It said, and the first dominion shall come, or it shall be restored. In other words, the dominion at present, during the time that the prophet Micah was speaking, was lost. Are you understanding this? Amen. Genesis 1:26. So therefore we know that there is a first dominion. And if there is a first dominion, it means that what? I mean, the dominion somehow within time was lost. And then also we must be able to address when and how it shall be restored. And to what extent was this dominion restored? And to whom was this dominion restored to? Hallelujah. When you read the Bible and you come to the word daughter of Zion, it is talking about the converted Jew or the church of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding this? And it said the first dominion shall come to the daughter of Zion, or the first dominion shall be restored to the church. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26. Jennifer, read.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
And God said what? God said, let us make who?
Man.
Hallelujah. So it was an agreement that was reached by the Godhead that let us what? Create man in our what? In our what?
Image.
And likeness. Read on.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
It said, let us what? Make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have what? Let them have what? So that what? When God first created man, he established this very
ingredient over the life of man, that man shall have what? Dominion. That dominion was injected into man. It was the function of man upon the earth. That the reason of the creation of man was for him to have dominion. Are you understanding this? That God decided that let us create man and let him have dominion. So that what? The reason why you were created is for you to have what? Are you understanding this? Now dominion is a delegated power. In other words, it was power that was taken from somebody and it was given to you to function under the image or under the likeness of the person, so that when you appear, it looks like the person himself appeared. Are you understanding this? So it was a delegated authority. So that as a believer, when you show up, it looks as though it is God who has what? Shown up. So he said, let us make man after our own image and likeness. That man's image should look like the image of God. That in the realms of the spirit, when demons see you, they must see you within the image of God. They don't see you as Mr. Russell any longer, but they see you in the image of God. Say, so let them have dominion over what? Are you all here? Are you sure you are all here? Are you sure you are all here? He said, let him have dominion over what? Dominion over every what? You are moving too fast. Stick to the Bible. He said, let him have dominion over what? Over the fish of the sea. So that whatever lives in the sea, whatever is capable of what? Staying in the sea, is subjected to the dominion of man. And let them have dominion over what else? Over the fowls of the heavens, so that whatever is above man, whatever is in the heavens, is still subjected to man. And over what? Over the cattle of the earth or of the ground, so that everything that creeps or walked upon the ground is also under the dominion of man. This is a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of authority. But this was the very reason for the creation of man. Somebody turn to Psalm 8. Turn to Psalm 8. Somebody quickly read from 4 to 6. So that you understand that when God created man, he functioned him by giving him a certain amount of dominion over the earth and over everything that creeps over the earth. Solomon, please read. Psalm 8, 4, 6. 4 to 6. He said, what is who? Go on, read.
What is man that thou art mindful of him?
Mm-hmm.
And the son of man thou, visitest him.
Wait a minute. He said, what is man? What is man, or who is man, that God, you are so mindful of him? Why did you create him the way you created him? Why is it that you still visit him? That even when man fall, you still want to restore him? He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That Almighty God himself have to visit man. Are you understanding this? That there is something important about you that God can visit you. The Bible said one day Abraham was there, and the Bible said, and three visitors came and visited him. And among the three visitors was God Almighty himself. For the Bible said he told the other two to go ahead, and he stayed with Abraham. So the Bible said, what is man that you should visit him? You are not only visiting, but you are mindful of him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want you to look at this within the context of your own life, that God is mindful of you and I. And not only is he mindful, but he visits us in our rooms. I hear him, somebody. For the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ears is attentive unto their prayers. So that when you are alone, shut down, that God visit you, that he is mindful of what you are going through. He is mindful of the situation. So that the Bible said that God visits man. Read on, please.
Verse number 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels.
You have made him a little lower than who?
The angels.
A little lower than who?
The angels.
A little lower than who?
The angels.
For thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim. The old King James will say. And Elohim is translated as what? Little gods or angels. He said, thou hast made man a little lower
than angels.
Than angels. Read on.
And hast crowned him with glory and honor.
And you have what?
Crowned him.
And you have crowned him
with glory.
With glory and what?
Honor.
Honor. Wait a minute before you read on. So he said he has made him what? Lower than the angels. Now remember that demons are fallen angels. Are you understanding this? Remember that demons are fallen angels. But the Bible said when God created man, he created him a little lower than demons. Hallelujah. Amen. He created man a little lower than angels, whether they are fallen or whether they are still what? Active. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible said that what? God created man a little lower than the angels. In other words, he created man a little lower than Lucifer or the devil. But he did something that provoked the attention of the angels. The Bible said, even though man was created lower, but man was glorified and he was honored. And glory is that essence around you that makes you irresistible and it makes you unstoppable. Glory is the substance around you that makes you attractive. Glory is the substance around you that makes you an overcomer. Glory is that which is around you that makes you who you are. So that Moses said, God, show me your glory. He is not asking for miracles, for he has seen miracles. He has already seen the templates. He has seen the pillar of fire. He has seen the pillar of cloud. So glory does not mean a miracle. But it has something else to do with what makes God who he is. That he wanted to know the character behind the miracle. He wanted to know the character behind the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fire. And the Bible said, and God has placed glory on man. So that even though he was functioned lower, but when he appears, there was a substance around him. It was the substance of God. It was the glory of God. It was the image of God stamped upon man. So that in the realms of the spirit, he looks like God. He said, you have placed this glory on him, and you have also honored him. Read on, please.
Number 6, thou madest him to have dominion over all, over the works of thy hands.
You made him to have dominion over what?
Over the works of thy hands.
You made him to have dominion over what?
The works of thy hands.
Over the works
of thy hands.
Of thy hands. Amen. Read on. Are you done?
Thou hast put all things under his feet.
Thou hast put what?
All things.
Is it some of the things?
No, all things.
But he said, thou hast put all things. The word all is an inclusive word. It means anything and everything. And the Bible said when God created man, he placed all things under his feet. The word feet in the Bible is a symbol of authority. In other words, you have placed everything under his dominion or under his authority. Not some of the things, but everything you created. That is why angels are subjected unto man. That even though man was made lower, but the glory of God and the honor of God that was placed on man lifted man above the angels, so that angels are subjected to man, so that man does not worship an angel. The Bible said when John in the book of Revelation saw the angel of God, he bowed down in worship, and the angel said, "Do not pay homage unto me." Are you hearing me, somebody? For the Bible said some of us will judge angels. Are you hearing me? Some of us will sit in the judicial council of God, and angels will be arrayed before us, and we shall determine their destiny. It's all by the glory of God. That he has given dominion unto him, and he has placed all things that he has created under his feet. Now, if this was the exact creation of God, if the Bible is telling the truth, that this indeed was how man was created, that this indeed is the expectation of God for man, that this is what God wants you and I to behave like and to look like when we appear, if this is the exact truth of the purpose of man's creation, then what happened? Hallelujah. Because along the line, it looks like power changed hands. Along the line, it looks like man lost dominion over the activities of the earth. It looks like man is not in charge of the earth. Though that God himself desired and created man, that man will not be subjected to the earth, but the earth must rather be subjected unto man. So something shifted along the lines that changed the power between man and the world. And as you know, it happened in Eden, where the Bible said that the woman met the devil, whoever he was, and the Bible said that he beguiled the woman to sin, and the woman deceived the man to sin. And the Bible said immediately when that happened, Elohim came down and he proclaimed a curse over the woman and over the man and over the serpent, and he cursed them. In other words, the dominion that was placed over man was turned around immediately. So that the Bible said that when Jesus met Lucifer, he called him the prince of this world, when in fact man should have been the prince of this world. Hallelujah. When Jesus met the devil, Satan said unto him that all these things are mine, and they have been given unto me. And Jesus did not debate with him. He did not argue with him. Because the devil was not lying at that moment. But truly, power has been switched, that the devil truly now has everything subjected to him. So that man and his kindred lost the first dominion, which was prescribed in Genesis 1:26. So that the first dominion that Micah was talking about is the dominion that man lost in Genesis 1:26. But in Micah 4:1, we learn that in the latter times, or in the latter days, or within the New Testament church, that this first dominion, the exact prescription of God in the original creation, shall be restored again unto man. Somebody turn to Matthew 10:1. Somebody else turn to Mark 6:13. Somebody else turn to Luke 10:17-19. They can just turn to Matthew 10:1 solo, Mark 6:13, Jennifer, Luke 10, 17 to 19. So, a couple of things have been made known. The demons have the power to foretell the future and the past. They have power to manipulate and to influence. They have power to enchant and to divine. And they have power to, you know, they have power to give sicknesses unto people. As it was shown in the Bible, they have power to cast spells and curses upon people. But what is the power of man? And to what extent was the power that was given in Genesis 1 supposed to be exercised? That assuming man had that power in the beginning, to what extent can he exercise that power? Read Matthew 10.
Amen. Matthew 10, 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, and when he had what called unto him the 12 disciples, the Bible said he did what? The Bible said he did what? He gave them power. He gave because they did not have. I hear from somebody. The Bible said he gave them power. Now this power is the same word translated in the dunamis as dominion. The Greek word dunamis. So the Bible said he gave them power to do what? He gave them power over. I hear from somebody. In other words, before he gave, they did not have power over. They might have had a certain level of power, but not over demons. Are you understanding this? So the Bible said now he gave them power over them. Not equal to them, not on the same level with them, but the Bible said he gave them power over them, so that when you encounter a fallen angel, you have been elevated above them, you have been given power above them, so that you should not be afraid of them. Now, if you have power over somebody, how do you get afraid of them? How do you get afraid of someone that you have power over? Or someone who is subjected to you? How do you get afraid of someone, or how do you get intimidated of someone that you are greater than? How is it possible that the Bible said Jesus gave them power over? The next lesson, please read.
Mark chapter number 6 verse 13, and I read, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them.
And he said, and they casted out
many devils.
Many devils or many demons. He said, and they casted out. Talking about the 12 that he had given the power to, the Bible said they went forth, or they went out, and they had demonic encounters, and the Bible said, and they cast them out, or they expelled him. You don't lay hands on demons, you cast them out. You don't pour oil on demons, you cast them out. He said that what? And they poured oil on the sick, those that were sick. They poured oil on them and they prayed for them. But they that were possessed, they cast them out. When you read the prescription of the anointing oil, the Bible said, and it shall not touch a stranger. You will not pour it upon the skin of a stranger or upon anyone who is unclean. So that you cannot pour the anointing oil on somebody who is demon possessed. This is also a referential scripture letting you know, those of you who have lost your way in the New Testament church, that the anointing oil was used in the New Testament by the apostles. It's not strange. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the Bible said he gave them power, and the Bible said when they went out, they exercised the power. They proved that the power had been given to them by casting out demons, spirits. Then this person, please read Luke 10:17.
Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen. So the 70 returned after having been given power to go out, and they came back with a testimony, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subjected unto us. Lift up your right hand and say, demons, fallen angels, unclean spirits are subjected to me, are subjected to me in the name of Jesus. Amen. They said, Lord, even the demons are subjected unto us. In other words, the power or the tables have now turned around again, and the former glory had been restored unto them. Are you understanding this? Are you understanding this? So that now they can say that what? Now the demons are subject to us, indicating that previously the demons were not subjected unto them. Indicating that it was after that they were given this authority or this dominion that the demons came under what? Their subjection. And Jesus said, and I give you power over the serpent and over the scorpions and over all your enemies, over all the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. The scorpions and the serpents are poisonous animals, indicating how demons can affect your life. And he said, I give you power over these things. That these things will not affect your life. These things will not change your life. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Indicating that the enemy also have power. But however, the power I give unto you is more than them. He said, over all the power of the enemy, indicating there was no limitation, there was no restriction to the level of power that was given unto man. Indicating that the power that God has placed on you and I has no limitation. That it does not only affect certain things in our life, but it affects all things in our lives. Are you understanding me? So that this power affect everything in your life. And he said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, O Lord, art with me. So that as a believer, you can walk through darkness, you can go through valleys, you can go through all manner of problems. But the songwriter said, the psalmist said, I will fear no evil. Why would he fear no evil? Because the Bible said, nothing by enemies shall hurt you. For the Bible said, you shall run around the troop and you shall walk through them, and none of them shall hurt you. Are you understanding this? Are you sure you are understanding this? He said, and nothing by any means shall hurt thee. Asanto, you have a mic? Read 1 John 4:4. Now I want us to understand something before I round this up. That the authority that God has given to you and I has not been minimized. The Bible said that Jesus saw it unto the disciples that who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And the Bible says that some says that you are a prophet, and others says that you are Jeremiah. Some say that you are Isaiah. Some say that you are one of these prophets, and you have come back again. And Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" In other words, there is power about to be transferred, but until you can identify who I am, you cannot receive what I am about to give unto you. I am about to release some keys, but until you can identify that I am the owner of the keys, you will not be able to operate with the keys. So that the Bible said that the seven sons of Sceva said that we cast you out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. In other words, they could not identify who Jesus was. They did not know he was the Messiah. They did not know he was the Son of God. So who you know Jesus is today will determine the level of your power, will determine the level of your authority. But you got to know who Jesus is. It's not just an elementary knowing that he is the Son of God, but you got to have a deep session in your heart that who is this man. For the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God came down as a man. And the Bible said in the book of Luke that Emmanuel, signifying that God is with us, or God walked among us. For John said he was the Word that was in the beginning, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you can understand who has given you this key, then you will know what level of power you have, and how you can function with that power, and how you can operate with that power. So the Bible said, as everybody was quiet, Peter said unto Jesus, "Thou art the Son of the living Christ, or thou art the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but it is my Father in heaven." You have had a revelation. It's not something you just read somewhere, because it was not written in the Torah. It was not written in the law, but you had a personal revelation. And somebody here, if you are going to grow in faith, if you are going to grow in maturity and exercise dominion and cast out demons and heal the sick, then your level of revelation, your personal identification of the Christ must change. For it said, flesh and blood did not reveal this. No man wrote this. No man told you. It is the Father in heaven that has revealed this to you. And from henceforth, he said, Peter, I give you the keys, that upon this revelation, that whatever you bind on earth is bind in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. Whether there be demons, whether there be scorpions or serpents, he said, if you bind them, they are bind. If you lose, it is loose. Are you hearing me, somebody? I don't know your personal identification of who the Christ is, but from today, may you desire to know him more. Because the more you know him, the better you are lifted. The more you know him, the better authority you get. For Paul said the other time, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and his suffering be made known unto me. He has cast out demons, done many miracles, but he said that I may know him. Amen. After all these things, he said, brethren, not that I have attained or I have become perfect, but this one thing I do, forgetting about the past, whether it be good or whether it be bad, he did not indicate, but signifying that whether miracles he did in the past, whether holy living he lived in the past, whether bad things he did in the past, he said, forgetting the past, I press forward. That I may know him. You might have thought that he knew him too well already. But the apostle still had a yearning inside of him. He said, brethren, I have not yet attained. said, I have written many mysteries about this Jesus, but yet still I want to know him more. The more you know him, the more you can operate with the keys that he has given to you, the more you can know your standing against demons. Asanto, I'll read it, please. I was giving you time.
Ye of God, little children.
He said what?
Ye of God, little children.
You are of what?
God.
Little who?
Children.
Go on.
And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wait a minute. Don't close it. If you close it, you'll be in trouble. He said, you are of who? You are of who?
God.
Of God. Now, the word of is a possessive preposition. And it defines an origin. And at the same time, it identifies and it associates something. So that he said that, let the children, you are of God. In other words, three things are being made known by the word of. It describes a possessive thing that we belong unto God. So they say, let the children, you belong to God. In other words, God has possession of you. And it also identifies us. He said, let the children, you are of God. In other words, you are not of anyone, not of the devil, not of flesh and blood. For the Bible said that what? They that live in faith, the Bible said, we walk by the Spirit and not by the sight. The Bible said that though you are in this world, you are not of this world. In other words, the same word of is indicative that we are not, or that, or this world does not possess us. It means that we are not to be associated with this world. It says you are in this world, but you are not of it. In other words, we are not to be associated. We are not to be identified with the practice code of this world, with the standards of this world, with the rudimentary elements of this earth. But we have been elevated. For he said, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So he said, let the children, you are of God. The origin is determined. We have been identified that we are part of God. We are in his image. We are in his likeness. And then he called them little children, signifying their vulnerability as believers. Signifying that they have not yet matured to identify who they were. Signifying that they were panicking. They were feeling threatened by the devil. So that they were failing in life. They were about to give up in their faith. They were losing hope. So he called them little children, indicating how vulnerable they were. But at the same time, he associated them with their origin. That if you are of this origin, then you should not be vulnerable. Hear me, somebody. He said, little children, you are of God. And he said, and you have overcome them. Who is the them we are talking about? Who is the them that we are talking about? He said, and you have overcome them. Now, this is, you have overcome them, is written in the past participle, or what we call the perfect participle, signifying that it's an action that has already taken place in the past tense, being made known and being declared in the presence, indicative of the future. He said, you have overcome them. In other words, your daily encounter of demons is a battle you have already won already, but you don't know you have won it because you have not identified your origin. Unless you can go back and understand who possess you, you will give yourself to the devil. Are you understanding this? He said, let the children, you have overcome them. Why? Because you are of God. The reason why you have the victory is not because you are smart. It's not because you are intelligent. It's not because you are so bright. It's not because you are taller than the rest of them or you are shorter than the rest of us. But he said it is because you are of God. So that if you can make your association with God, it is an indication of your victory in life. So that you can wake up day by day encouraging yourself, dependent on the situation, that I am of God. That because I am of God, I should not fail. Because I am of God, this should not happen to me. Because I am of God, the devil should not take advantage of me. Because I am of God, Satan cannot live in my house. Satan cannot have victory over my life. Because I am of God, the devil cannot prevail in my life. But it all depends on who you are of. You are of God. That is why you have overcome them. And that he that is in you, he that is in you is greater. Hallelujah. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto him. And we are also being told by the Apostle Paul when he said the other time that what it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ that lives in me. He said, the man you now see is not me. The mistake and the defeat in life is when you identify yourself as me. It's when you say Satan, I say. No. See, that is the mistake. It's when you say Satan, I say. For when the 70 written, they said that what? And they obeyed us with your name. When they spoke under the name, when they identified with the name, immediately the demons were subjected to them. See, the devil does not respect how you dress. He doesn't respect how many, what do you call it? Weights you can lift. He doesn't respect how many books you have read. The man is more sophisticated than you are. So there is nothing you do that baffles him. So that's what he said. That what he said, that he that is in you is what? Greater. So that our greatness is dependent on who is in us. So Paul made a good statement when Paul said that what? He said, the man you now see is not I. That is a big statement. That is a big statement. To be walking around town and your friends tells you, Paul, say, listen, the man you now see is not I. It takes personal discovery and revelation to come to that point where you can say, you see, you will look at it and you will think it's crazy. It looks crazy and bizarre. But at the same time, the man discovered a revelation that made him an overcomer. The man discovered a revelation that gave him authority to expel demons. Because until you can say that the man you see is not I, until you can get yourself out of the picture and know that it is Christ who is doing the work, and know that it is Christ that the demons are bowing to, until you can come to that level of understanding and know that when your friends encounter you, they have encountered the Christ in you. It's not you, but it is the Christ. Your wisdom is not of you, but it's of the Christ. Your knowledge is not of you, but it's of the Christ. Your thinking is not of you, but it's of the Christ. Whether it is my talent I'm using, it is of Christ. Until I can identify with the Christ, I am doomed for failure. I am scheduled for disappointment in life. Until I can say that it's not I that lives, though you see me, it's not I that you see, but the one that lives in me is Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody? He said, the Paul you know is dead. He's no longer alive, but the one you now see is Christ. It tells you something. If you can look in the mirror and you see yourself, then you are failed. If you can look in the mirror and all you care about is polishing yourself, then you are failed in life. Then that is, you know, that is something that is indicative of your failure and where you are going in life. Because the devil does not mind those things. He does not mind the body. He deals with the engine. Are you hearing me, somebody? So that what is inside of you is the problem. Paul said, it is not I that lives, the poor is dead. You can, and there is something about a dead body. You can punch a dead body, you are wasting your time. You can get a knife and just try to stab a dead body, you are wasting your time. You can play your music and a dead body will not dance. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because the poor is dead. The poor would have responded to fear. But there is a new tenet inside of Paul. There is somebody else inside of Paul. He does not respond to fear. There is somebody else inside of Paul who the Bible said they told him that the people want to kill you. Run away from this place. And he said, my time is not yet come. He said, I decide whether I take my life or whether I give it away. He said, I can decide whether to take a life or to. There was a new tenant who was not afraid of death. There was a new tenant who said that word, for this cause I have come. The only human being who said, for this cause I came, is to die. Who on this earth can say that the purpose of my life, I just came to die and that is it. I just came to die and leave. So that what the person inside Paul was different. So the old Paul would have responded to certain things, but the new Paul said, and if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things are past, and all things, behold, are now new. So that the new tenet sees differently. There were certain things I would have fallen to, but because of the new tenet inside of me, because of the Christ that lives in me, I cannot dance to your music any longer, because the new person will not give it attention. So he said that what he that is in you is what greater than he that is in what? Than he that is in what? Than he that is in the world. Who is this he, the prince of this world? Let me conclude on this note. He that is in the world is not greater than us. The demons around us are not greater than us, because we are of God, and because God in Christ has taken residency in us. And if the Godhead is inside of us, then everything in creation, the first dominion, the original establishment of man, has been restored, where everything must now bow to man, where everything is now subjected unto man, where man is no longer moved by the activities of the earth, but the activities of the earth is rather moved by man. Because man has now become a different creature in a different status in life. That everything that rules on the earth has now been subjected to the obedience of man. So that he said, we have overcome he that is of the world. I pray that anything that is of this world, that is capturing your mind today, by the word of the Lord, we confess and activate that you are not of it. That today you should be loose, you should be disentangled and released and disengaged from that aspect of your life that has so drawn your mind. Any fear concerning any issue in your life that has healed you back. Today the word of God said you are not of the world. I pray that you should be disconnected away from that fear. any sickness in your life or in any family member, by the word of God this very day, may your hands be anointed, may your hands be blessed, so that you can pray and lay hands and sicknesses are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that by the word of the living God, which the Bible said is settled forever in heaven, I declare that you shall expel, you shall chase out demons, you shall evict them, and you shall sentence them to their destruction in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare from this very moment, anything that concerns your life, that has limited your potential, anything that has made you stagnant, anything that has made you sad in life, I declare this very day that there is Christ inside of you. May it leave you alone. May it lose your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare by the word of God that you are not beneath, but the word of God said you shall be above only and never believe. From today forward, may you be lifted from your lower estate into your higher estate, into your place of rest, into your place of establishment, into your place of settlement in the name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, when he appears, who can endure? I declare today, as God is inside of you, when you appear, no demon can endure, no demon can stand. In the name of Jesus Christ, as the presence of God, the substance of God has been placed over your life, I declare to somebody that by your shadows, demons will scream out, they shall run out, because the glory is around you. May the glory announce your presence, that Jesus Christ is in you, that the image of God is upon you, that you are in the likeness of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to somebody, for the Bible said, what can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus? I don't know what you are going through, I don't know what you are fighting, but the word of God said, what can separate us? I said, nothing can separate you. The Bible said, whether there be sickness, whether there be pain, whether there be disappointment, whether there be perils, whether there be adversaries, the Bible said, what can separate us? Whether it be life, whether it be death, I don't know what you are into, but the Bible said, nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said that, yeah, you are more than conquerors. You are not only conquerors, but the Bible said, you are more than conquerors. May you be conquerors in your life, in every part of your life. May you be conquerors in your job. May you be conquerors in your marriage. May you be conquerors in your families. May you be conquerors in your neighborhoods. May you be conquerors in everything that you do. The Bible said, you are more than conquerors. You are not compared to the standard. You are above the standard. You are above the statutes. You are above the limit. You are above the protocol. By the standard of Elohim, you have been lifted up in heavenly places. You are above this earth. You are within the realms of Jehovah. You are in a new dimension. May your eyes open so that you may see, so that you may declare, so that you may proclaim, so that you may unleash the power and the glory of God upon every avenue of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare, as the power is over your life, may you speak into your family. May you speak in your mother's life. May you speak in your father's life. May you speak upon your children, and let there be healing. Let there be restoration. Let there be hope. Let there be hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it happen to you. In the name of Jesus, so let it be. Shall we rise? Father, bless your people. By the authority you have placed on us, the devil is no longer a match, for you have upgraded your people, whom you made a little lower than angels. But because of your glory, we have been elevated. We have been above them. We bless you. May we identify with you. May we be of you. So that we will have power, the confidence to release this power in us. For your word said, this is the confidence that we have in you. Give us confidence. Give us confidence that the prayers of every saint in this church should be heard in on high. That the prayers of every saint in this church should come into the corridors of eternity and into the habitation and the throne room of Yahweh. May it come this very day. As Solomon said that, and when prayer is offered in this temple, you shall incline your ears to hear. Today, O God, hear the demands of your people. For your word said, and when Israel groaned, you heard them. I pray this day, O God, that as your people groan inside of them, that those in pain, those in persecutions and tribulations, that you will hear them, O God, and respond in our lives. Respond for our own sake. Respond for your name's sake, O God, for we are attached to you, O God. We are attached to you. For Moses said, wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Where is their God? I pray for your people. As they trust in you, may you answer their adversaries that their God is still upon the throne. That he has not lost sight of us. That he has not given us as a prey to the fowler. Father, O Lord, let miracles stem out of us. Let miracles be projected out of our lives, out of this ministry. Let there be a change in our path. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.